Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith.
Wonderful.
Enjoy.
This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of the greatest scandal. The greatest scandal is what I want to speak about this morning. During the week, many of you may not have noticed this, but Russian social media released a report that King Charles had died during the week. Russian social media set out a great scandal. King Charles is dead, they said. A Ukrainian social media and media outlet also picked up this story and declared that King Charles has died. I did notice yesterday King Charles, from his deathbed where he's dead, released a wonderful video encouraging his daughter-in-law who is going through cancer treatment, and he's also going through cancer treatment, and from the grave congratulated her on her journey through that. And, you know, I grew up, my grandparents, my mother's parents were people that loved the royal family. And I remember being just a young kid. Listen, some of you in the room don't even know that the British Royals and we're still a part of the Commonwealth, because that doesn't really matter anymore. But when my grandparents were younger and the Royals came to Australia, they were some of those people waiting at the airport cheering for the Royals. You know, the Royals, if there's going to be a scandal, it's in the Royals. I don't know if it's because of all the inbreeding or what, but there's some serious scandals there. I remember growing up, King Charles, who was Prince Charles, was married to the prettiest girl in the UK. And again, it may be the inbreeding, I'm not sure, but he left the prettiest girl in the UK and pretty much got together with the ugliest girl in the UK. You know, there's always crazy. She's actually the Queen now, in case you're wondering, but there's always scandals. There's always, yeah, tell the truth. I'll tell it about the scriptures in a minute, I promise. Because that's a better truth. Listen, there's always scandals there. And they're big scandals. And everyone seems to really care about these scandals and about the scandals that go on. I noticed that scandal got worse when the prettiest girl in the UK actually died a couple of years later in a car accident. And if you would be a conspiracy theorist, you would say that it was because of the royals that she is dead. But these scandals go on. Now, let me be really clear. The king dying but not dying isn't the greatest scandal. The king, when he was a prince, leaving that pretty girl for the not-so-pretty girl, may have been a scandal, but it wasn't the greatest scandal. If we want to understand the greatest scandal that history has ever recorded, it is the scandal of the cross. It's the scandal of what we celebrate in the moment of Easter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. If you have a Bible, you can open it up. Can we just turn up those lights just a wee little bit so people with Bibles can read them this morning? That would be amazing. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. Paul writing, he says, "So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say that it's all nonsense." Now, if you read this passage of Scripture in a different translation, it'll say this: the Jews have found a stumbling block. But if you go back to the original language that this was written in, the word here is actually scandalon. It says the Jews are scandalon. This is the word which we get scandal from. It says to the Jews, this is the greatest of scandals, that Jesus Christ was hung upon the cross, and that we preach Jesus hanging upon the cross. Paul goes and speaks to the Galatians church in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if I was still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended." This word, again, is the same word, scandalon. He says this: it would be a greater scandal for me to preach the cross than for me to preach, "Men in this room, you need to all be circumcised or you can't go to heaven." Now, listen, I'm sure if I stood up today and said, okay, I've got a knife later on and we're going to fix up some people in the room, it would probably be a greater scandal. But Paul says, listen, that scandal is nothing compared to the scandal of the cross and what Jesus Christ did upon that cross. It is a powerful statement and it's a powerful reality. We can sit here with our beautiful Easter eggs, celebrating our beautiful Easter and celebrating this moment and forget the power that is the scandal of the cross. What it means for our lives, what it means for the world today, what it means for a community at large. It is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what it means for the world around us. Can we step back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I want to remind you, when Paul writes to the Corinthians church, he's writing to a vast group of people. Really, a great picture of this church here. He's writing to people that aren't just Jews or aren't just Gentiles. He's writing to a mixture in the church. He's also writing to people that have come out of messy background and come out of brokenness. If you want to really see the book of an hour, that is Corinthians. It is the book of the place that we live in. It's written directly to us here, to a group of people like us, just a mixture of people coming together from mess, from brokenness, and now he writes to them. He says here in verse 17, let's step back a little bit from the verse I was looking at and let me give you some context to what Paul was talking about. Paul says in verse 17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. If you're wondering what the good news is, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ who died and rose again for our sins and the transformation of this world. He says, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross would lose its power. You know, Paul makes a really powerful statement here. He said, I didn't just come with clever speech. Now, we know that Paul obviously was a fairly good articulator. He traveled the world and he spoke Jesus wherever he went. He spoke in synagogues. He spoke in temples. Wherever he went, he preached Jesus and he obviously did it well. But he says, I didn't just come speaking well. I come with power because the power is in the power of the cross. Verse 18. He says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Just last week, I saw a guy. I got a bunch of people on Facebook that really I only... I've never met them. They're just friends through spearfishing all over the world. And one of the guys is on Facebook. He is over in Indonesia. He's an Aussie guy in Indonesia spearfishing. And he always posts, he's a completely anti-Christian guy. And he always posts really anti-Christian posts. I wonder if somebody that doesn't believe in something, why he posts so much about it. But anyway, he posts very anti-Christian stuff. So I sent him a message one day when I read one of his posts that was biblically incorrect, and he's making these huge statements that were really biblically incorrect. And I actually messaged him. I said, hey bro, I see you post about science all the time. I see you posting a lot about anti-Christian stuff, and you posted something recently that was biblically incorrect. So I thought, you being a guy that loves science, maybe you'd like to know the truth about what you posted. Would you like me to tell you? And he went on to basically say, you're not one of those religious nuts, are you? I always respect your spearfishing, but you're not one of those guys. I said, yeah, I am. And you know, Christianity is the core of my life and who I am. He went on to just use a lot of expletives that I could never use in church, where he basically just told me I was something wit and I was the stupidest person in the world believing that stuff and going on and on and on about how dumb this thing is and how foolish this way of thinking is. And then he proceeded overnight to post six posts in which he tagged me in of stupid crap on his Facebook. And Andrew Jones was like, man, that guy's a bit crazy. And I actually sent him a message the next day. I'm like, you all right, bro? Like, I'm actually just asked you a question, and now you're going a little bit crazy on me. And listen, Paul says right here, it is foolishness to those that are perishing without Christ right now. This guy's going on and on and on and on and on. This thing's and basically he told everyone in this room that you've got mental problems. That's the gist of what he had to say. But listen, I just said to him, this is a fairy tale. Why would you believe a fairy tale? This is my response to that. Listen, mate, I've seen the world change through fairy tales. And if I'm living a fairy tale, it's the greatest fairy tale that was ever written, because it changed my life and has changed thousands that I have seen in their life. He says Paul says it's foolishness. 2,000 years ago, he said it's foolishness to those that don't see the truth and the power that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 20. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it the world that would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. He says, listen, they never come through great human thinking. They never come through worldly wisdom. They never come through human wisdom. It's through our foolishness, he says. We come to the reality that the greatest scandal ever written about was there for our lives in Jesus Christ. Verse 22. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. And it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. There is a great scandal to the Jews, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. The great scandal of the cross is so powerful that it has transformed the world that we live in and the world that we know today. He continues on, he says in verse 24, but those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. The scandal of the cross. Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the liberty that is found in the cross of Christ. The liberty for our lives. Listen, that is a key part of this scandal, the liberty which we find in Jesus through his cross. I was thinking on this during the week, and I was thinking, what makes it so scandalous? If Paul is to write multiple times through the New Testament that this is scandalous, what is it that makes it scandalous in our lives? What is it that makes this thing such a big deal? As I was praying on and thinking of and reading and studying this week, I saw three key things that make this such a scandal for our lives. The first one is that the cross broke the curse. Listen, this is scandalous for a number of reasons. And when we go into Galatians chapter 3, Paul writing again, he says, but Christ had rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Now, Paul is writing to the Galatians church, again, a makeup of Jews and Gentiles that have come to Christ. He's writing to them, and he is quoting out of Deuteronomy. He's quoting out of the law that was given to the Jewish people. He's using the law, and he's quoting this quote, and he's making this statement. He says, cursed is everybody who hangs upon a tree. This is the statement he's making. Let me give it to you in simple modern-day English. He's saying this simply. He's saying, Jesus got rid of the curse by first and foremost becoming the curse. Listen, the cross is scandalous because Jesus took on himself the great curse for our lives. Listen, if you're in this room and you say, man, my family line is cursed, or I have the curse of addiction in my life, or I have been cursed and somebody has cursed me. If that is your statement, I want to be really clear. The cross is important for you because first and foremost, Jesus took on the curse. He put himself upon that curse that he could then rid us of the curse. It's scandalous. You know, when Jesus was hung upon that cross, the Jewish people would look up and see him, and the leaders of the time wouldn't just be glad that he is hung on a cross and dying, because they were glad. It wasn't just about being glad about that. They were glad now that the Messiah is cursed as he hangs upon that cross. That was scandalous. For a Jewish man to be hung on that tree was a scandalous thing. But it was scandalous in the power that it actually brought to our lives, because I want you to note something. Jesus isn't still hanging upon the cross. He's not. He's not dead in a grave. Listen, for Christians, it would be scandalous if Jesus hung on the curse and he died on the curse and he stayed dead in his curse, dead in a grave, like happens to everybody else. That would be scandalous to us, because it would just simply represent that we have no power in our Christianity. It would say to you in this room that may be struggling with addiction today, it would say that you could never be free. It would say to you in this room that maybe you've come through generational curses in your life and you've watched it in your parents and your grandparents. It would say you can't be free. But Jesus isn't hanging on a cross. Jesus isn't sitting in a tomb. The Bible tells us so clearly that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He conquered sin and death. He conquered the curse that he put himself upon and he hung upon and he died upon didn't hold him. He was risen again from the dead. He rose again. The curse had no hold. And listen, if you're in this room and you're a believer and you understand the power of this, you understand the power that really says right now, my family line is cursed, but I come to Christ and he rose again and he conquered the curse. The curse doesn't hold my life. It says this, I walk in here with addiction, and in that addiction, I understand that Jesus Christ has broken that curse of addiction. The curse of shame. The curse of bondage. That's broken in Jesus Christ. We walk into Easter with a great celebration that there is a scandal. It's a scandalous thing, but that scandal gives us power and gives us freedom and gives us life. It's in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're in this room and you are holding that lie of a curse, I want to tell you today, that curse has been broken in Jesus Christ. It has been broken. Right now, if you're battling that fear of family curses, it's cut in Jesus' name. It's cut in Jesus' name. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why we celebrate the great power. The greatest scandal is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Curse couldn't hold him. Couldn't hold him bound. Jesus walked out on the third day, rose again, conquered the curse. Secondly, there was the reality that is scandalous because blood was shed. Listen, Dad is going to spend some time, Pastor David is going to spend some time on Easter Friday morning talking through the power of the blood. But let me touch on it for a moment here today. If we go into John 6, Jesus has got thousands of people following him. Everywhere he goes, he teaches. People love his wisdom. They say, this is great wisdom. We need that wisdom. He teaches wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, at times he's feeding people. He took small loaves and fishes and he fed thousands, and people thought that that was an incredible miracle. They loved the miracle of being fed. But in John chapter 6, Jesus makes a massive statement that was scandalous. He says, you're going to have to eat my body and you're going to have to drink my blood. The Bible says thousands stopped following him and they left and they were offended. Because Jesus spoke a scandalous thing. When we take of communion, we celebrate the scandal of what his blood means to us as believers. Colossians chapter 1, Paul again writing. In verse 20 he says, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. And he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Reconciled to Christ. Reconciled back to the Father. Reconciled back to God. Listen, I'll look across this room. I understand in this room there's been some messy lives. I understand in this room there's been some brokenness and some despair. I understand in this room there's a couple of you that stole one cookie out of the cookie jar. Maybe a lolly. And all the rest of us are pretty messy. Pretty messy. And we come to Jesus Christ. And here, if we understand what Paul's writing to the Colossians church, we come to Jesus Christ carrying with us the great burden of our mess, of our walk before Christ, of our sin and our failures, of our vile words, our filthy actions, the mess of our lives that just are painted with brokenness and despair. And we come to Jesus Christ and we bump into him at the foot of the cross. And at that place, we bump into the reality that Jesus' blood was shed and we are reconciled back to Christ. He says that peace comes back to our lives. We've had mess and we've had brokenness. We've come with despair. We've come with hurt and fear and heartache. And we come back reconciled to peace in Jesus Christ through the cross, the shedding of his blood. Listen, this is a powerful thing. And when we celebrate this, when we come to the reality of this, we celebrate what it means for our lives. The blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse us from all sin. 1 John says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To take our sin. To take it. The mess, whatever it is. Listen, you may walk into this room and say, Tim, you don't know my sin. It's vast and it's bad and it's ugly and it's terrible. Listen, I don't care what it is. The beautiful reality of the blood is it washes it white as snow. Takes our mess, takes our despair, takes our brokenness, takes our loss. It's a powerful thing. Billy Graham said this, the cross shows the seriousness of our sin, but it also shows us the immeasurable love of God. Yeah, our sin was serious, but the love of God, the immeasurable love of God. Listen, in the blood, the word tells us there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. Listen, in the practical, we understand that. If I was to drain your blood out right now, there wouldn't be too much life left in you. There's life. We need our blood. It's a very important thing pumping through our body. It's an important part of what it is. If it can't pump through our body, if there's blockages, there's no life. If it's drained out, there's no life. I had a friend of mine attacked by a shark and basically drained nearly all of his blood. When they pumped blood into him with half his leg missing, he woke up because the life is there in the blood. It's an incredible thing. There's life in the blood. Secondly, God loved us so much that he shed his blood for all of us. He loved us all so much. This is a scandalous thing. This is a scandalous thing. He loved us so much. We got to understand that yes, it may be offensive, but it is powerful. It is life-changing. Third reason that this cross is offensive is that the cross condemns our flesh. Now, let me just, before I get into this, start by making a very clear statement. We are not people condemned by the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But our flesh is. Our sinful nature is condemned at the blood of Jesus, at the cross of Christ. Our sinful nature. Listen, if you walk into this room, you feel condemned by Christians. Let me be really clear. Jesus doesn't condemn you. His cross is there because he's reaching out to encounter you, and he loves you. This is the power of the cross, but it also does something to our lives, and it stops us in the place of our flesh. When I came to Christ knowing that I was loved, but I also came to Christ knowing that my past was filled with sin and brokenness that needed to be taken from my life. I knew in the cross there was a great need for change. I knew in the cross that there was power to change. Galatians chapter 5, Paul again. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucify them there. That word passion isn't like, I am passionate about my work. That word passion there isn't, I am passionate about my wife. That word passion there isn't, I am passionate about the things of God. That passion there talks about the twisted thinking of our flesh. It talks about twisted lusts of sin. It talks about twisted desires of the worldly way of thinking and walking. It doesn't just talk about the things passionate for good things. It talks about these twisted passions that exist in our lives. The desire right there is a twisted desire that the enemy has come and twisted in our lives through the lies that have come through our flesh. Paul says the flesh is at enmity to the spirit. It talks about that part of our world that fights against what God has for us. Now, again, that may be not anybody in this room. None of you have ever battled with issues in your life. But I stand here on the platform with somebody that I have to run boldly to the throne of grace, because the Hebrews writer tells me that I can come boldly to him, that I can come boldly because we have a high priest that can sympathize with all of our weaknesses. So therefore, we can run boldly to him. Paul writes right here that he says those things have come there, those evil passions, and we have nailed them to the cross with Jesus. Why is this a scandalous thing? Because we live in a generation that says, hey, leave my passions. Don't speak about my passions. I do my own thing. I live how I feel. I walk how I want to walk. I act how I want to act. Don't tell me to change. It is a scandalous thing. Listen, it was scandalous 2,000 years ago, but I tell you what, it never get more scandalous than today. I told you that story about the guy that I messaged, and he started posting, and I received a message from another spearfisherman who lives in Western Australia. And that spearfisherman said, hey, man, I see this guy's like tagging you in all these posts and coming against you pretty hard, trying to say all this stuff to you. And he said, listen, about 2 years ago, I actually sent him a message as well, and he did the same thing to me. And he said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I come from South Africa. And in South Africa, if you stand up for Jesus, no one ever says anything bad about you. He said, but man, I see lots of people saying stuff bad about you because you stand up in a spearfishing world saying that you're a Christian. You post videos online telling you're a pastor of church and you do all these Christian things. He's like, man, I just want to say, awesome, great job, that's awesome. He said, but I've never seen and I've never encountered this in South Africa, and I've been here for 4 years and it just blows my mind that in Australia, it's crazy to be a Christian. I'm like, listen, this is scandalous to be a Christian. It's scandalous because the reality of what the cross does here, and we get to Easter, and it does something. It shouts out to this city. It shouts out to the spiritual atmosphere. It's a spirit of the age, an antichrist spirit that shouts out and says, don't touch who I want to be. Don't touch it. It's an antichrist spirit because the power of the cross says this. We take those passions. We take that way of living. We take those things that have stood strongly against the cross, and it says we take them now and we nail them to the cross. When I came to Christ at 19, my life was nailed to the cross. Some of it hurt to change. When my language changed, my actions changed, my thinking changed, the way that I lived changed, and I read the Word of God, when I opened it up, oh, it hurt me sometimes when it spoke of my pride. It hurt me sometimes when it spoke of my bitterness. It hurt me sometimes when it spoke of my words and my actions. But it was a cross there, and it was saying, come, take those passions and those ways of living, nail them to the cross. Listen, it's also scandalous because it gives us freedom. Christ doesn't just come and say, change. He comes and hangs, takes the curse, bears the curse, wears the curse, owns the curse, then rises and conquers the curse. And now he says, take your curse and nail it to the same cross that I was nailed to. And when you nail it there, there's power to be free. There's power to live whole. There's power in the cross. Verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or jealous of one another. He starts to go on and talk about these areas of our life. He says, since we are living in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Listen, the cross gives us power to follow the Spirit's leading. Listen, if you're not sure what the Spirit's leading is, let me give you an example. You're driving your car, that person cuts you off, and you want to point the middle finger sign up to heaven out the window, and the Spirit's leading says, come on, man. Come on, Tim. Check your attitude right now. Spirit's leading when you walk into your workplace and that person that sits beside you and drives you nuts, and you go into the lunchroom and you just want to start to talk to your friends about that person beside you that drives you nuts, and the Spirit's leading says, hey, don't allow that gossip to flow from your mouth right now. Spirit's leading for the young people in the room when you walk around with a group of friends into a party and all of a sudden that pretty young girl with a very short dress starts walking past you and the Spirit's leading says, flee those youthful lusts. Get out of that place right now. Spirit's leading. Listen, he says the power of the cross comes and allows that Spirit's leading to lead us past what our flesh, listen, the condemnation of our flesh always stirs in our hearts. We have a generation that right now, through pride, screams against the condemnation to the flesh that comes right now and speaks in a generation and says, I don't want to change. I just want to be who I am. And we have the broken world we have today. But the scandal of the cross 2,000 years ago still is real. There is freedom from the curse and from our flesh that gives us freedom to come to the Spirit of God that calls change into our lives and has conquered the curse so change can come. Has conquered the curse so we're not bound to our flesh. That we can all come before the cross of Christ and say, God, I want to be free. I want to be free through the power of Jesus. Billy Graham makes this great statement. He says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. What was Billy Graham saying there? Hey, listen, you don't need to come to the cross perfect. You don't need to come to the cross in your Sunday best. You don't need to come to the cross because you've never made a mistake in your life and say, now I can come to Jesus. You don't even need to come to the cross when you say, if I just get all of this stuff right and I sort this stuff out, then I can come. He's not saying that. He's saying this. We can all come to the foot of the cross and the power of Jesus in our Sunday best or in our rag and mess and broken and destruction. And we can lay at the foot of the cross and find Jesus and find the power to free us from the curse and to free us from brokenness to walk whole in Jesus Christ. There is power at the foot of the cross. It's a powerful thing. A powerful thing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes here in this moment. Jesus, we stand right here before you. Risen. Conquered the curse on my behalf. Conquered the mess of my life. Conquered the brokenness of who I am. Jesus, thank you. 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 Jesus. 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 Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Right across this room today, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the great power of the scandal of the cross. To the world, it maybe stirs people's hearts and lives, but in us it stirs the beauty and the reality of forgiveness and grace. My God, I pray across this region that you would stir in people's lives to see the beauty of the cross. Even through this season, people that don't know you could find you, could come to the beauty of a loving Father God, who your word tells us gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believed in him, finding that beauty of the cross, the beauty of it today. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this room. Maybe you sit in this room this morning, you're not walking with Jesus. Maybe your life's been a bit messy. Maybe you've come in here saying, Pastor Tim, I bring some rubbish with me. I feel like my life's been cursed. Listen, this morning, Jesus is here and he loves you. And he wants to meet with you. His grace is sufficient for you. You're here in this room like that this morning. You're saying, Tim, I want to come and I want to start a relationship with Jesus. I want to open my life to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. I'd love you just to give me a wave today. I want to pray for you right in your seat, right where you're at, here in this moment. Quickly today. Pastor Tim, pray for me. Up the back, that's wonderful. Lovely. Who else this morning? Who'll join that one? Awesome, up the back. That's great. Who else right now? Quickly. Quickly today. Pastor Tim, pray for me. I want Jesus in my life. I want to invite him in. I want to bring him back into my life. Let's look across again. Anybody else want to join these two this morning before we pray? My God, I thank you right now for this moment. God, I thank you for the great love that you have for those two. A love that is continually shown in the beautiful power of the cross. My God, I pray right now, this moment, that you will touch those hearts, touch those lives, pour out your great Holy Spirit today. My God, that you would touch with the goodness of God and the grace of God poured out upon those two. My God, you wash away yesterday. You wash away failure. You wash away despair. You wash away that brokenness. My God, you release grace right now. You release grace right now. My God, you call those two to yourself. My God, as they leave yesterday, they leave failures, they leave heartache. My God, and right now, come to you. Come to your grace. Pour out your spirit right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.